I think the last time I was up here was actually testifying about God's grace in our family's life and allowing Fleur to finally become a U.S. citizen. So it's actually kind of cool being here using her new American passport as an illustration for Not Just for Kids. So that was a really special moment. I also want to say thank you for this opportunity to speak here tonight on this incredible, incredible passage. And as this series we're going through about understanding humanity, there are some things that are not so good about understanding humanity, and there are other things, because of God's grace at work, are wonderful about understanding humanity. And I'm thankful that the passage that was given to me and the topic that was given to me, I have some incredible, incredible life-giving news to share tonight. Our passage tonight is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 21, and the sermon title is A New Creation. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21. And before we jump in, I want to give a brief introduction just to the book of 2 Corinthians. It was written by the Apostle Paul, and part of it was to establish his apostleship, as many naysayers were saying that the suffering that he was experiencing showed that he was not a legitimate apostle. But Paul was saying that his sufferings actually magnified the power of God working in him. And he also wrote to strengthen the struggling church there in Corinth. As many of us know from reading the scriptures, the church at Corinth had some challenges, had some struggles. They were filled with humans. And Paul was writing to encourage the struggling church. The nature of this letter is very personal, in many ways autobiographical, as Paul shares some of his struggles. And into chapter 5, where we'll look tonight, he opens the chapter just discussing that while our physical bodies are wearing out, we can still be courageous and seek to please God with our lives. One note says this: in spite of the fact that Paul longs to be at home with the Lord, he does not lose heart while he is away from the Lord. His confidence in the future resurrection and in the reality of the judgment to come keeps him faithful in the present as he pursues his goal of pleasing Christ. Paul is always pressing forward to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. And in this context tonight, Paul is writing to encourage the struggling church. So we'll read the passage together now, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 17. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to these verses, we marvel at your grace and at your work. The phrase that all this is from God is astounding. We stand unworthy and undeserving of your work in our lives. Father, we are fallen humanity, but you are a reconciling God in and at work in your people. I pray that you would bless our time together in your word tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. So lots of truths in these verses, and we're going to kind of take a flyover if we want to get out of here at a good time tonight. So we'll be looking at a few truths from these verses, and the outline that I have is fairly simple. First, a new creation. A new creation. Verses 16 through 18a. And the two facets there are simply old has passed away and new has come. Then we'll look at the new ministry, verses 18b through 21. It's a ministry of reconciliation and a message of reconciliation. So that's our outline tonight. Now we'll hop in there at new creation, verses 16. I'll read again, focusing on how the old has passed away. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So Paul here saying, we're not regarding people according to the flesh. What does he mean? He's saying, I once regarded Christ according to the flesh. Remember, Paul, pre-conversion, what was his opinion of Christ? He was just an errant teacher, and Paul was at work to persecute followers of Christ. He regarded Christ there according to the flesh, but now he says, I do not regard anyone according to the flesh. He used to view Christ himself as just another errant teacher, but no longer. Then his primary lens was physical. Now his primary lens, how he sees others, is spiritual. He constantly seeks to maintain a spiritual perspective in how he regards everyone. It's reminding me of a quote I've heard and read before. We are not primarily bodies with a soul. We are primarily souls with a body. Whereas my dad often says, we are looking at things that will one day be ashes with eyes that will one day be dust. It is so easy for me, so easy for us often to view people in regards to the temporal, to the physical, to the possessions, to the careers, to the horizontal, and our vertical lens often gets fuzzy. And Paul is encouraging us tonight for us to maintain a spiritual perspective, to regard others not according to the flesh and the stuff and the status and the things, but according to a spiritual state. Those neighbors that you walk by, those friends that you talk to, they are primarily souls that will spend eternity somewhere. And we can be a part of pushing them, encouraging them, admonishing them towards Christ. It says, the old has passed away, but the new has come. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Believer, tonight, it does not say you will be a new creation. It does not say one day you will be a new creation. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. God has done a justifying work in buying you back. He goes on in verse 18a, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. One commentary writes this, we offended God by breaking his commands and sinning against him. Therefore, the initiative for reconciliation should have come from us, for we are the offending party. Instead, we read that God, as the offended party, reached out to us to achieve restoration of relationships. God took the initiative and completed the work of reconciliation before we as sinners began to respond to God's gracious invitation to be reconciled to him. In brief, God restored the relationship between himself and us so that his new creation for us could be fully realized. Old has passed away. New has come. Verse 18. All this is from God. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. All this is from God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What God has done through his son Christ in reconciling sinners unto himself. And remember, the Apostle Paul writing this has very fresh memories, I'm sure, of his life pre-conversion and persecuting and aiding the murder of followers of Christ. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled himself to us. So what? So this couple days this week, I took my son Johnny to spend a couple days with my parents who are camping in North Carolina. They love camping. So I took Johnny up camping, and he has this little bicycle. It's called a Strider, and there's no pedals. You just kind of sit over the bike and, you know, use your feet to stride, to move forward on the bike. And he was going, and it had just rained, and my son, he's 3 years old, which means he's a puddle hunter. So if there's a puddle, he's going to hit it. And so he's weaving to find the puddle, and he found a big puddle. And what does he do? Zoom. He goes straight for the puddle, splashes in the puddle, then he stops. I'm behind him on my bicycle. He's ahead of me probably 20 feet. He stops after having just gone through the puddle, looks down at his shoes, turns around, says, "Daddy, why are my feet wet?" And I said, "Son, because you just went through the puddle." Oh, these brilliant realizations. And for him, he learned something called cause and effect. And when we see words in Scripture like therefore, it clues us in to the reality, the same thing of cause and effect. And so here we are transitioning into this new ministry. Here's another quote. Paul's assumption is that being in Christ should bring about a radical change in a person's life. So all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. So what? It continues in verse 18. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? Well, it continues in verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So what do we see about this message? Well, first we see in verse 18 that it is a gift. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It's a gift. And we'll see more of what that means in just a minute, but just to fathom that God in Christ is reconciling us to himself. And then he gave us this ministry of reconciliation. Secondly, he entrusted it as a message. Verse 19, the closing phrase. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Believer, you have been given a gift, the ministry of reconciliation. You have been entrusted with a message, the message of reconciliation. And so now let's look at that message of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. What? Creator God, reconciler, proactive, gives us a ministry. Entrusts us a message, gives us a role of ambassador, and says, God making his appeal through us, fallen yet redeemed humanity. What wondrous love is this? What's the role of an ambassador? simply to be a mouthpiece for the one that they represent, and to represent accurately, to speak the message of the one they represent, just as an ambassador to New Zealand represents the administration of America accurately. That is the role of the ambassador. But we are just not civil servants serving at the pleasure of an administration in Washington, D.C. Believer, you are a child. You are a son, a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we have a glorious message. Reading verse 19 again. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. The next phrase is mind-blowing. Not counting their trespasses against them. Not counting their trespasses against them. It's a terrifying thought to think back over years, decades of failures in our lives, mistakes that we've made this week. Not counting their trespasses against them. Believers, we have a glorious message. Not only are we proclaimers, but we are also recipients of this marvelous, matchless grace. He goes on in verse 20 and 21. We implore you, this is our message as ambassadors, last part of verse 20. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. If you are here tonight and you are not a believer, my message from Paul is this: be reconciled to God. God, through Christ, has made a way for your sins to be forgiven. You can be free from the burden of sin. You can be free from the eternal penalty of sin. You can be a child of the King. Confess your sins. Believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and you will be saved. This is the gospel, glorious gospel message. Verse 21, for our sake, this is the gospel in a nutshell, for our sake, he made him, this is Jesus, he made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This reminds us of these truths from Isaiah, predicted hundreds of years before, Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The glorious message that we have the privilege, the ministry, and we've been entrusted to us to proclaim as ambassadors of Christ. But again, not only as ambassadors and proclaimers, but as recipients, we have received such mercy, such grace. How can we keep from singing? God is so good. These words from a well-known and loved text, his robes for mine, someone up well, his robes for mine, a wonderful exchange, clothed in my sin, Christ suffered neath God's rage, draped in his righteousness, I'm justified, in Christ I live, for in my place he died, his robes for mine, what cause have I for dread, God's daunting law, Christ mastered in my stead. Faultless I stand with righteous works, not mine, saved by my Lord's vicarious death and life. His robes for mine, God's justice is appeased. Jesus is crushed, and thus the Father pleased. Christ drank God's wrath on sin, then cried, 'Tis done. Sin's wage is paid, propitiation won. His robes for mine, such anguish none can know. Christ, God's beloved, condemned as though his foe. He, as though I, accursed and left alone. I, as though he, embraced and welcomed home. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cross cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. Bought by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. Paul knew his sin. Paul also knew that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Believer, are you feeling downtrodden? Are you feeling discouraged? Are you feeling weary in your fight against sin? Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds and flows into your life. His mercies are new each morning. Be encouraged and be continually reconciled to our great God. Paul knew his sin, but he knew better his Savior. So some closing applications I want to leave you with tonight. How can we learn from these verses? What can we take away from these truths? And I know this was a quick flyby, so thank you for your attention tonight in our few minutes together. First, I would encourage you to maintain a spiritual perspective. Fight the temptation to live horizontally. Fight to live vertically, in relation to God, and as we view one another. May we view one another with spiritual lenses, being more concerned about heart conditions than waistlines and tan lines and name brands and square footage. Let's maintain a spiritual perspective. Secondly, may we continue to rejoice together in Christ's reconciling work. The gospel is simple, but it's mind-blowing that Jesus took our place and has made a way for us to be forgiven. Rejoice at this good gospel, good news. And lastly, share the glorious message. Proclaim the glorious message. Shout out the glorious message of reconciliation, because you, Son of God, daughter of God, are an ambassador and have been entrusted with an amazing message of our great God. In a moment, we'll close with the song, O Great God. And as you sing these lyrics, relish these truths afresh. I was blinded by my sin, had no ears to hear your voice, did not know your love within, had no taste for heaven's joys. Then your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me through the gospel of your Son, gave me endless hope and peace. Help me now to live a life that's dependent on your grace. Keep my heart and guard my soul from the evils that I face. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. O great God of highest heaven, glorify your name through me. Father, we come before you in awe. We marvel at your grace in our lives in entrusting to us the message of reconciliation and calling us to be your ambassadors. You are a great and awesome God, and we thank you and praise you. Father, please equip us for this task and give us strength even this week to reflect and represent you well here on this earth in the time you've given us here. In your name we pray. Amen.